Great to see everybody today. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Now, you might be sitting in the audience today going, what is he talking about? Well, that's why we want to talk about this. I'm so grateful for what God is doing in our church. But if you don't know why Pentecost Sunday is important or what it even means, it's a day that is significant because Christianity recognizes that this day, Pentecost Sunday, following the death and the resurrection of Jesus, is a day that is recognized as the birthday of the Christian church. It was on this day in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit came down and it empowered believers in a way that had been promised by the Father. And I want us to go to that particular Pentecost Sunday. I want you to see what I'm referring to, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, you can look on the screen. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, verse 4, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wind from heaven, visual tongues of fire, people speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Man, what a sight that must have been, right? What an experience. Think about it, that happened for the very first time that day. Now, after this happened, subsequent verses in that chapter says the crowd was shocked. They were confused. You can imagine what that must have been like by what they had just witnessed happening around them. There were Jews that were gathered there from many different nations. One reason was because Pentecost was one of the three pilgrimage festivals that required all Jewish males to travel to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to God. So there were Hebrews there, Jews there from all in the around that area and those from those neighboring nations. There were many Jews that witnessed this outpouring of Pentecost. And according to verse 11, they heard them speaking in tongues. Now, it wasn't just gibberish, but they heard them speaking. The Bible says the wonders of God in their own languages, in their own tongues. So then Peter had to give them an explanation. If you have your Bibles again, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Let me explain to you all this chaos that you've just witnessed. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk. As you spoke, man, they must have had a powerful church service. Yeah. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 from the King James said it this way. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter said, what you're seeing here, it's not some strange fire. It's not some emotional experience that's just cooked up by a bunch of half-crazed worshipers. He said, this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that you just witnessed. And he said, this is that which was spoken about, prophesied about by the prophet Joel. He said that this was coming one day, and guess what? This is that day. This is that experience. So my sermon today on this Pentecost Sunday is in the form of a question. Is this that? Is this that we read about in the Bible is our experience. What we read about in the scripture is what's going on in our church world today. Is this that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that this word would bring revelation and enlightenment, and your spirit would be free in this place. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, Amen. Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost Sunday are inseparably connected and linked together in the sense that Christians universally, regardless of denomination, they recognize this chapter and the events that take place in it as the birth of the Christian church. Now, the notes in your Bible might even call this day or this passage in Acts 2 as the birth of the church, or maybe the origins of the church. Now, I don't know about you, but in my family, we like to remember big days. Like anniversaries, birthdays. Anybody else like to celebrate those big days? Our church likes it. We just celebrated these graduates, amen? And we love to celebrate big days. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians have lost sight of the fact that today, Pentecost Sunday, is a big day in the story of the church. Today is the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, church. Right? It's the birthday of the church. We need to remember Pentecost, not just so we can celebrate it, but more importantly, so we can emulate it. So we can make sure that our experience is what they experienced in the days of the early church. Amen? Acts chapter 2 records the initial outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not going to talk about the details of the Feast of Pentecost today, more than to say that it was a significant festival. It commemorated the first fruits and the harvest. Pentecost was a festival that honored the giving of the law. And at the end of the week of weeks, is what the Bible said, 49 days, Pentecost Sunday was celebrated on the 50th day. It marked the end of the harvest. But what Pentecost Sunday signified took on such a greater meaning on this particular day in Acts chapter 2. This was the first Pentecost Sunday after the resurrection of Jesus. And it symbolized something far greater than just a feast, because Jesus had promised his church that they would receive a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit after his death and his resurrection. Now, I'm not going to read it today, but he told the disciples in Luke chapter 24 to go and wait in Jerusalem for an experience that was to come. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it was called the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. Now, according to the scripture, as believers, we know that the Holy Spirit is already in operation in your life. The very moment you believe and repent and receive Christ in your life, according to Ephesians 1:13, the Holy Spirit is already at work in your life. Can the church say amen? Amen. Let me read that verse to you. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Notice this next part. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Notice it says, when you believed, you were marked with a seal. The King James Version said you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. However, as demonstrated in all numerous accounts throughout the New Testament, there is more to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life than just being a seal of your belief in Jesus. Come on, can the church say amen to that? Give me a little bit more monitor up here, if you will, please. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit after you become a believer, it is a privilege that is available for every believer. And it is based on the understanding that, hear me, God has more for you in this life than just your confession of faith. Come on, there is a Holy Ghost empowerment that can change your life. Amen. I thank God for the fullness of the truth about this deeper experience in God that is known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can any Holy Ghost-filled people say amen to that right now? Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that as New Testament believers, we are entitled to everything. Everybody say everything. Everything that they had in the New Testament. Healings, faith, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders, And we also believe, and the scripture tells us, you can still have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is for all of us. But hear me, not all Christians believe this. Many of them have been told a lie that these gifts and these miracles ceased in the days of the early church. There's actually a doctrine called cessationism. And if you've never heard of it, good. But it's a faulty theological viewpoint that says that the miraculous spiritual gifts like prophecy or speaking in tongues or divine healing, that they stopped functioning in the church since all the apostles died and the New Testament was canonized or became scripture, and this was in the 4th century. Once the New Testament books were settled or completed, they say that those gifts died. Many churches, and I'm not going to call out denominations today, they teach that the gifts of the Spirit died when the apostles died off. Many cessationists believe, they still believe God is at work, but they don't think that he does any of the miraculous things that he did in the New Testament, including the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've just got to respectfully disagree. Yeah. Amen. And say that you told me and a lot of great Christians that I know way too late. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Because I have personally experienced, and many of you have personally experienced, the wonder-working power of the miraculous power of God in your life. Oh, can I get a witness in this house here today? Come on, this room is full of people right now that can testify of the power of God and the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And hear me, not only do we believe God's power and his gifts are still in operation because of what we've seen and experienced, but hear me, more importantly than just your experience, the scriptures tell us that these gifts are to stay until the Lord comes back in the end. They didn't die with the apostles. They didn't die with the New Testament canon. And let me back that up with scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now notice verse 7, 8, and 9. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for what? The return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say you have the gifts till I die. You didn't have the gifts until the apostles died. You didn't have the gifts until the New Testament was canonized. You have the gifts as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on the day when? When our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Verse 9, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he's invited you, what? Into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He said you have every gift, but you have them for how long? The scripture said, as you wait on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not until the apostles left, not until the New Testament was finished. Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because I'm telling you right now, a lot of the people in this room, or even some of you are watching online, you have been told that you cannot have the Holy Spirit. You've been told that the gifts of the Spirit don't operate anymore. You've been told that divine healing is no longer real. I want to tell you, that's a lie. You can have everything they have. You can have everything that they have in the New Testament. You can have it all. Don't tell me it died with the apostles. Don't tell me it died. I'm here to tell you you can have it all. And if you're like me and you don't believe that God has stopped working when the apostles died, if you don't believe that God quit working once they canonized the scripture in the 4th century, then you've got to ask yourself a question about your church or about your theology or about your personal experience with Jesus. Here's the question you have to ask. Is this that? Is what I have what they had? Is what my church preaches what they preached? Was I baptized the way they got baptized? Did I speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit came the way they spoke in tongues. Come on, somebody. I'm just asking you, is this that? Is this that? Is what I'm experiencing what they experienced? Is what I'm preaching what they preached? Is what I am doing what they did? I'm thankful that we are a Spirit-filled church, amen? And I want you to know I'm grateful for all God is doing among us. We are not at Life Church hung up on denominational labels. We are not about being constricted to man-made religious boxes, because those things are not from God anyway, amen? Come on. But let me tell you what we are hung up on. We're committed to making sure that what we preach and what we practice and what we believe and what we pursue is that which is found in the Scripture. Come on, amen? I don't want to leave behind miracles and the power of God because of religious traditions. I don't want to leave behind the power of God that's found in the Scripture because a church or a preacher or a denomination told me that it died with the apostles. So we've got to ask ourselves, is this that which Peter preached about throughout the New Testament? Is this that which Paul shared on his missionary journeys everywhere that he went? Is this that when we baptize people, are we doing it like they did it in the Bible? Is this that when we anoint people with oil, believing that the prayer of faith shall save the sick? You should have been here at 9 o'clock. We had an altar call and we anointed people with oil and we prayed for people with cancer. We prayed for people who were on dialysis. We prayed for people with kidney disease. And I'm telling you why we prayed. You know why? Because the Bible says that the prayer of faith can save the sick. We still believe that, amen? We still believe that. Is this that? See, unfortunately, people are gathering in churches all over the world right now, and they really cannot say with assurance that what they have or what they're experiencing or what they're being taught is what they had in the days of the apostles. And we've got to ask ourselves today, no matter what religious background you have, do you have what they had in the book of Acts? Have you experienced what they experienced in the epistles? The gifts, the miracles, the manifestations. Is what you have what they had? Is this that? See, because if not, then I've got good news for you today. You can have it today. Amen? All you got to do is ask for it. If somebody has come today and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can have that today. If somebody came today and you are in need of a miraculous healing in your life, let me tell you something. We will anoint you with oil and we will believe God with you for you to have a healing. Is there anybody that believes in healing in this house today? You see, I think the problem with the modern church is there's a disconnect between what we read and what we experience. There's a disconnect between, well, it's like it's ancient history when it ought to be today's news, amen? Come on, I believe that with all of my heart. Many Christians are living as malnourished, starving believers because they've left the power behind in the book of Acts. And they're not experiencing it for themselves. And many of them, it's not because they don't want it, it's because people have told them that it's not for them. Well, let me tell you what Paul says to preachers who tell people that they can't have what they had. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anybody preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Why would you settle for anything less than everything that God has for you in your life? Come on. We got to ask ourselves today, do you have what they had? Have you experienced what they experienced on the birthday of the church? And if you have not, it doesn't make you less of a Christian, but what it ought to do is make you hungry for all that God has for you in your life. Amen. Peter described what happened on the day of Pentecost as this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He was referencing the prophecy from the book of Joel about the coming outpouring of the Holy Spirit which was to come. And I want you to know, I believe that this generation is experiencing an unprecedented hunger for God. Amen? Come on. I believe young adults and young people right now, they are hungry for something real. Amen. They're not flocking to dead, dry churches. They're flocking to places where they can experience the power of God for themselves. Hallelujah. I'm going to just tell you right now, I would not have stayed in a church where I didn't feel the presence of God when I was a teenage boy. Amen. I need his power in my life in order to operate. I believe that this generation wants it. Multitudes of people are hungry for a change. And what they want is the power of God in their life. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Folks, I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter if you identify as Baptist or Catholic or Pentecostal or Presbyterian or Lutheran. There was a lady this morning, she identified as a Catholic and she was just talking in tongues all over this place. Yeah. See, it doesn't matter what your denominational background is. What we all need is what they had in the Bible. We need the day of Pentecost experience. Pastor, what are you saying? You're saying we got to be No, Pentecost is not a denomination. It's an experience. We don't follow a denominational creed. We endeavor to teach and preach and practice what the apostles taught and preached and practiced. See, the believers in Acts chapter 2, after hearing the preaching of the apostle Peter. By the way, go home and read Acts chapter 2. After the languages, after the explanation, Peter took that opportunity and he began to preach to them about the gospel. He began to preach to them the gospel. He began to tell them, hey, you know that Jesus that you crucified? He was the Messiah. Peter preached them under conviction. All the way to the point where after Peter had preached to them, you know what they did? Verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, it says this. Peter's words pierced their hearts. That's what good preaching will do. And they said to him and to the apostles, brothers, what should we do? Folks, that is a very important question to ask after you've just had the gospel presented to you. What do I do with what you just told us? And then you know what Peter's reply was? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Let me just stop and say this. It's not real repentance unless you turn to God. It's just saying I'm sorry, and sorry is good, but there needs to be actions to be a real sorry, right? How many of you know? So it doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. Doesn't mean you're not going to slip up. But repentance means I'm turning toward God. Peter said this. He said, repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Notice the question, what should we do, was answered by repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. Who is it for? Acts 2:39 from the New Century Version. I like the way it said it. It said, this promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away. It's for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself. Anybody in this room been called to Jesus? Guess what? It's all for you. Two, God wants to give you that they had in the book of Acts. In his letter to the Ephesian Christians, the apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:18, he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And now today we have an open-ended invitation from heaven to drink all that the Spirit can give you. Hear me, folks. The Spirit is given without reservation to those who are thirsty enough to drink and drink and keep drinking until they're filled to overflowing. You need the Spirit in your life. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 said it is that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You want to know why a lot of good Christians are struggling? They're serving God without the power. When I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a teenager, you know what it did? It gave me power to break the addiction of cigarettes that was in my life. It gave me power to drink, to break the addiction. And it wasn't an addiction, but my recreational partying was really messing me up, amen? But it gave me power to finally say no to the things I kept stumbling into saying yes to. Some of you right now in this room, you're struggling with drinking. You're struggling with smoking. You might be struggling with pornography. You might be struggling with some other kind of addiction. You love Jesus, but you still struggle. You don't have to raise your hands because we all know what that's like. But you know what the Bible says? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, come on, somebody. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives you a power. The Spirit of God not only is around you, but now it's in you. The church is not just the building. The church is you. We become the temple of the living God. Amen? The Holy Spirit resides within us. And as Christians, we have so many promises from our Heavenly Father. But did you know only one is called the promise of the Father? And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of Luke chapter 24, verse 49, in Acts chapter 2. And all you got to do is believe the promises of God. I want the praise team and musicians to come at this time. Everybody say Pentecost Sunday. Come on, it's not a religion. It's not a denomination. And I try to point it out every year. It's an experience that our world needs for their souls to be set on fire. Has anybody in this room experienced the power of God in your life? Come on. Now, if you want to be filled, why don't you stand with me all over this room? I've only preached for 25 minutes today, 26 minutes. If you want to be filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit, it starts by understanding that the baptism of the Spirit is not something that you earn. It's a gift. And you know what I've learned about every gift? There has to be a giver and there has to be a receiver. There's got to be someone who's willing to give. There's got to be somebody who wants to receive the gift. And you know what I know about the Holy Spirit? This is what the Lord has done for our generation. Here it is. Jordan, do you want it? You've got to reach out and receive it. But there's a lot of people, you know what happens when He's offering them this gift? They're like, wait a minute. They told me that was for those crazy Pentecostal people. I'm not so sure about that whole speaking in tongues stuff. That's another sermon for another day. But read it. It's in there. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19. It's all throughout the epistles. Well, my preacher said that the gifts died with the apostles. No, they didn't. Healing is a gift that we can have. By His stripes we are healed. His blood is still flowing today. Hallelujah. Come on, forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift. When we repent, His forgiveness comes immediately to us. By the way, can I tell you, every Christian, I say this all, you need to get reacquainted with forgiveness, with repentance and with faith. You need to put it on the repeat cycle. It needs to play on continuum in your life. Every day, repentance, faith. Repentance, faith. Repentance keeps my heart right. Faith keeps me pointing in the right direction toward God so that He can work freely in my life. Every day I need repentance. Every day I need a baptism of faith. I need to renew and rekindle my faith. Let me tell you how you do it, though. You do it through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You do it through the gift that God has given us. Now, for some of you right now, your next step is just accepting. Okay, I believe. That's a huge step. If you've been believing that it wouldn't happen, if you've been believing, if you've been told that it's not real, that's a huge next step for you. You just need to get your brain around that and say, Lord, I'm ready for everything You have for me. The Spirit's given to those who believe. And it comes by grace through faith. It's a gift that God wants to give. And when people come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ for salvation, it's done through faith and it's done by grace. But you've got to believe and obey the Scriptures. And you've got to just seek after everything that God wants in your life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and what? That He is a rewarder of those who diligently reach for Him. You gotta reach. Now, He's not gonna do that, by the way. Oh, like the progressive commercials. Oh, you almost had it. That's not how He works. But sometimes, you know what? There's things out there, and God wants to reward us by seeking after those gifts. The Holy Spirit infilling is still promised today to every person that wants it. Let me say it again. Let me say it loud and proud. It is a gift that is for every believer of Jesus. Come on. The Spirit brings a resurrection of new life in Christ to those who are filled. Some of you, maybe today's the day you finally accept that it's real. Maybe you come forward today and you begin to pray for it. We're going to have an altar call here in just a couple of moments. For others of you, maybe you need a renewing of the Holy Spirit in your life. You still love God. You're not backslidden, but it's been a long time since you've stirred up the gift that is in you. Maybe it's been a long time since you've spoken in tongues. Just worship God and let that gift flow freely again in your life. And so I'm going to invite you today to come forward. We're going to open this altar here. I'm going to ask our prayer team, our ministry team to come as well. And here's what I want us to do. And I'm going to make this real easy for every one of us. We're going to all start by repenting. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you need to repent. I need to repent. You say, I did yesterday. Well, you got up today. And we're going to make it real easy. We're all going to repent. God, wash me, cleanse me, create in me a clean heart. Forgive me of my bad attitude. Forgive me of my lustful thoughts. Forgive me of my anger. Forgive me of dishonesty. Forgive me of envy. You know. Whatever it is, repentance. It washes, it cleanses us. You know what repentance does? It just brings you in a place of honesty with God. The charade's gone, the facade's gone, the Instagram, Facebook image, it's gone. God knows you. He knows the real you, and it just peels back the layers and say, God, you already know. I'm just acknowledging what you already know about me, and I willingly lay it at your feet. And with repentance is a turning, God, and I'm going to do my best to live for you and walk away from those things that have destroyed me. So we're going to repent together. And then we're going to begin to worship together. So as they begin to sing for a moment, I want to invite you to come. And then we're going to pause and we're going to repent together. Would you come out from where you are? If you need the Holy Spirit in your life, or maybe you just need a renewal, or you need to stir up the gift in your life, I want you to come out. Come just for a moment. Come on. Step out from where you are. If you love Jesus, why would you not want everything that he has for you in your life? Would you come? Would you come? Now, as they continue to sing, we're going to repent together, all right? Father, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. Forgive me of the iniquities in my life. God, all of us have it. We all are. God, we're just sinners saved by grace. I pray that you would wash us today, God, as we repent. As we enter into a place of mercy, your mercies are new every morning, God. Wash me and cleanse me, God. I turn away from my sin and I turn towards you, Lord. God, I ask you right now today to wash our hearts, to cleanse our hearts. God, forgive us of lust. Forgive us of anger. Forgive us of dishonesty. Forgive us, Lord, today. Of bitterness or anything that's impure in our heart, God. Forgive me, Lord, of any actions that I've done that are not pleasing to you. Forgive me of any thoughts, God. Just wash me and cleanse me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me, God. Renew right thinking in me, God. Renew right motives in me, God. Oh, I thank you today, God. Come on, that's it. It feels good when you repent, doesn't it? It feels good when you repent. It feels good when you repent. Now, keep on repenting if you want to, but here's what I want us to do. I want you to listen to me for just a moment. We're going to begin to worship. Now, when I'm talking about, I'm just saying, we're just going to begin to praise God. And when the Bible says it, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, right? It's not the Holy Spirit unless the Spirit is giving the utterance. But the way that happens is, in order to speak in tongues, you need to be speaking. For God to take it over, and the best way I know to do that is just to begin to worship God. and begin to give him praise. I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was almost 16 years old. I was in an altar call. I prayed, I repented, I cried. I just got kicked out of school the year before for selling drugs at school. I was getting ready to go back to school. I needed the Holy Ghost. And I lifted my hands and I began to pray and I began to cry and I began to worship. And you know what happened? That was the last thing I remembered. And about 15 minutes later, I pulled my hands down and the guys who were praying with me, one of my best friends, I was like, these are not drunk as you suppose. I said, what happened to me? He said, what happened? He said, you've been speaking in tongues for 15 minutes. I didn't hear a word of it. Amen. I was out in the third heaven somewhere. But here's what I know. Before that happened, I was worshiping God with my whole heart. I was tuning out everybody around me. I was just giving God praise. So what we're going to do now, we're just going to begin to give God praise. And listen, if the Spirit starts moving on you and you start feeling words coming out that are not your word, let them flow. Don't worry about anybody around you. If you feel words coming into your mind that are not your native tongue, just let it flow out. Let the Spirit do its work. Is that all right? Can we let God have his way? And while you're praying for the Holy Spirit, one more thing. We're going to begin to pray for healing in this moment right now. Come on, how many believe in healing? We're going to pray for God to break the yoke of bondage off of people's lives right now. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's begin to worship God. Come on, that's it. All over this house. Prayer team ministers, lay hands on people as you feel led.
You're here and
come on,
I know you
that's it. God, I worship you with all of my heart. I praise you with everything that is within me, God. God, I want you to break the yoke of bondage in my life. I believe in you, God, but I don't have the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Let your gifts operate in me, God. Let your power be released in me, God. Let your anointing flow through me. Come on, that's it. That's it. He wants to reward those who diligently seek him. Seek after him. Press after him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. We want you, God. Come on, that's it. I'm hungry for you, God. I want to have what they have.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us.
Yes.
You're all we want.
You're all we want. You're all we want.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us.
You're all we want.
You're all. Come rest on us. You
You, Lord.